Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass on.
I feel mean.
Let me see if we cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of January 6th, 2014. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Bap, 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 baby.
Our first regular show of 2014.
Ooh. Yeah,
oh yeah. Man, we got some doozy of news stories to kick things off in 2014, guys.
Gonna hit the ground running.
So let's get right into it. I think first and foremost, we have to talk about, our spirit guide, our spiritual leader, Steven Seagal. So news came out that he might possibly be running for governor of Arizona.
Yeah, so
I'm fine with that.
We're moving to Arizona, pretty much.
No, it's just, if it gets elected, it's just nothing but like blues concerts and like Aikido classes,
and just like mandatory like tea ceremonies.
like every day, Governor Seagal, can you sign this paper? It's like, hold on a sec, we gotta do the traditional Bushido ceremony.
I have not poured your tea yet.
Sir, this has to get signed today or else it's not going to get put into law. Hush now, hush the child. We gotta get this tea going.
You know, it's that Asian Creole.
Yeah. I'm sure he's going to have like samurai swords in his office and guitars.
Santa Fe rice.
like a bamboo and like a what's the sand that you like rake?
Oh, Zen Garden.
Zen Garden,
yeah.
He'll do all his governor business in the Zen Garden. Or people trying to talk to him, like, shh, Governor Seagal is in his Zen Garden right now, you can't talk to him. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen, but they're airing, like, the lost season of Steven Seagal Lawman right now on Reels Channel, which is...
What?
Which is, So he got kicked out of Louisiana, or, like, they stopped filming in Louisiana because he got some, like, crazy sexual harassment charges put against him by his assistant.
Whatever.
Who said, like, it got dismissed or whatever. So, but she was like, oh, yeah, he wanted me to join, like, his harem of, like, Russian prostitutes or something.
Well, yeah.
But anyway.
Wouldn't you be so lucky?
So, but anyway, yeah. Jefferson Parrish was like, we can't film anymore with you, Steven, sorry. He went over to Arizona in Maricopa County, I guess it is. And he's like working with the SWAT team in that area.
That's like a movie scenario where it's like, I'm leaving this department and now I'm in the end of this department.
Well, and then I believe they never aired it on A&E because there was the whole crazy thing where like he drove like well they drove like a SWAT like tactical vehicle through some guy's this walled complex. They thought he was he had like illegal cockfighting ring going on, and he didn't. So it was like, oh, why'd you smash my door down with this giant like fucking tank? It's like, I heard there's some cockfighting going on, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, so they're in it right now on Reels Channel. It's basically the same old ridiculous lawman that you remember. There's so much Seagal vision going on. There's like one there's this one sequence where like they're trying to find like this drug dealer's like white Tahoe or something, and they keep like zooming like every time they pass like a white SUV, it goes into Seagal vision. He's like, yeah, but then he's like, oh wait, what, is that a car? No, it's not the car. It's not the car. He's using this Seagal vision to like determine if it's the car or not. Yeah, and then like they meet some like there's. One part where like they meet like this they pull this lady the guy over and like he has like a crack pipe in his car and then there's like this old lady gets out who smokes crack and he's like, how long has he been smoking crack there, baby? And she's like, I've been smoking crack for like 30 years. He's like, hey, you look like Steven Seagal. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm not Steven Seagal. No. Whatever. I get that all the time. So definitely check that out if you haven't seen that yet. It's ridiculous. But I'm sure we'll keep an eye on that story as it develops. Go follow in the long line of action stars becoming governors.
Yeah. Now we just need Burt Reynolds. Mm-hmm. Well, I would take Sylvester Stallone.
Burt Reynolds was mayor of Steelport or something in Saints Row.
Yes. Yes. Fuck it. He seems like, I mean, it seems like he could be mayor of where I live Florida at this point.
Let's get Carl Weathers somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
Van Damme.
Oh, man.
So anyway, speaking of our favorite action stars, we got to mention that this week was the 50th birthday of our, spirit animal, Nicolas Cage.
Oh, child.
Yeah, so go check out our Tumblr. We celebrated all day Tuesday. That was his birthday on Tumblr with clips and facts and all sorts of stuff. And also,
boy, did
also I put up on the site the 10 greatest Nicolas Cage moments, which I don't know if you guys just check that out, but I don't know. What are you guys some favorite Nicolas Cage moments?
Oh my god!
I mean, there's so many.
Yeah.
There's so many.
I mean, anything in Vampire's Kiss,
yep.
Anything in Wicker Man.
I think for me, Not the Bees is like the basically like everything about Nicolas Cage boiled to one amazing clip.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
Either that or him punching a woman in a bear suit.
Yes, that is pretty excellent,
yeah.
Too.
Not many people have seen it, but, like, pretty much everything in Deadfall, if you see that movie.
Yeah, it's what you keep saying, man. I gotta see this movie.
It's so bizarre, because basically, it's like, if Nicolas Cage wasn't in it, it'd be this weird, just, like, boring con artist movie with Michael Biehn. But then Nicolas Cage is in it and just completely just, like, He started so much cocaine before every take, it seems like. Because everyone else is like, oh yeah, we're going to pull this con and stuff. Yeah, okay. Nicolas Cage comes in and is like, what am I a fucking retard, man? Ah!
Well, it's funny because he's like on the cover of Deadfall.
It's like,
and
it's a completely different shot of like Nicolas Cage from like fucking City of Angels
or
something. Because like, the movie
it's
has
weird.
Like a crazy like mustache and sunglasses and a horrible wig and...
Speaking of City Angel, that's one of my favorite, like, freaky moments that no one likes to talk about. Like, you don't see that movie at all on TV.
Nope.
It's because, like, it begs so many questions about the plot, and then even the writing is just, like, a big F you.
Just remember that Goo Goo Dolls song.
Yeah, everyone remembers Goo Goo Dolls. No one remembers where it's from.
Well, City of Angels, man, that was a terrible movie.
Like,
I'll never forget because it ends with Meg Ryan being, like, killed on a country road on a bike.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, he just gave up being an angel to be with this woman. And then the bitch is just like, oh my god, I'm so in love. Let me close my eyes and take my hands off the bars here on Dead Man's Curve.
Yes. And then a logging truck, like,
and apparently that's not enough to alert her. It's like that Austin Powers thing where he's driving the steamroller and the guy's like, stop! No! And it shows he's like 30 feet away from him. And he's like, move, move! Like, she could have done that.
Well, the book simplifies her, like, because she can't see him for the first half of the movie.
It's like a reverse Sixth Sense.
Yeah. And then, like, I forgot what deal he made with God. He's like, and then God plays this cruel trick where it's like, yeah, like, I control fate and destiny. Oh, yeah, you could be a human for, like, now, but...
It's a hell of a, like, alternate backstory to Ghost Rider. Like, if you watch City of Angels and then put in Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, you don't need to see the first Ghost Rider. You could just be like, oh, that's what happened to him.
That kind of makes sense.
God betrayed him, and
he's
then...
cursed to wander the earth.
As the router.
And they could say, argue that that part of the spirit is actually Meg Ryan.
Yep.
Meg Ryan's a flaming demon.
Isn't she?
Maybe. I don't know. One of my favorite movies, not just Nicolas Cage movies, but all time movies, is The Rock.
Yes. Yeah.
That's when we realize, like, his acting skills can go beyond just screaming. yeah, it's weird, because I think, like, that was his first action movie.
The back-to-back The Rock-Con Air is, like, one of the greatest combos you could ever watch.
Right, right. I mean, The Rock kind of set the tone where it's like, hey, we have an old James Bond. We have, like, Michael Bay, like, effects. And, oh, by the way, Nicolas Cage, a guy who's either a cokehead or a vampire, is now, like, an action scientist.
That definitely kicked off the, like, Nicolas Cage action saga.
Yeah.
Because then he was just in, like, pretty much every, like, Jerry Bruckheimer movie after that.
Now, one of my favorite ones, or is, like, really weird to own, is the 8mm double pack I own with the first one with Nick Cage in it. Where he's an investigator who tries to find an old snuff movie. And, yeah, it's weird. It's him fighting, like, Peter Stormare. And there's a young, like, Joaquin Phoenix in it as a goth. You guys ever seen it?
I mean, I've heard of it. I haven't seen the whole thing.
What? There's a Jason-type guy there. His name is Sex Machine. He's all into bondage and shit. It's a nice modern noir story, because it's actually about this guy investigating an old crime for an old woman. And just, for peace. And he stumbles upon, like, a huge, like, underground sex club. And the sequel is, like, none of that. The sequel is, like just diminishes any value the first movie did.
I mean, obviously, also Face Off.
Face Off, yeah. The one where it's, like, John Travolta believes he'd be an action star again. Or Nicolas Cage playing John Travolta. Whatever you like. But it's good, because, like, their mannerisms and that, like, it's funny when they switch personas and they still try to act the way they try to out-act each other's
freak
outs. Like,
Nicolas Cage tries to, like, contain himself. It's like, I'm John Travolta now. And John Travolta's like, alright, I'm Nicolas Cage!
I do like John Travolta's exciting yelling, where, like, he yells, but it's all high pitch and squealy, that, like, you can still understand it, you know?
Definitely, if you're a true connoisseur of Nicolas Cage, Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
That movie was basically just a bunch of Nicolas Cage freakouts.
Yep.
And we thought that, again, they probably paid Nick Cage in, like, cocaine.
Yeah, I mean, there's basically no plot. It's just, like, Nicolas Cage running around New Orleans, like, threatening to kill people and smoking so much crack.
And the opening
scene, and then
scene
just, like seeing imaginary iguanas and, like, turning into, like, James Stewart for, like, an entire scene for no reason.
And, oh, man. And then for no reason, like, Val Kilmer's in it for, like, 10 minutes, to like, for two scenes.
I forget. I think, like Nicolas Cage, like, he, like blows, he, like, breaks his back at, like, an aquarium during Katrina or something.
Yeah, he's trying to save a prisoner who is in the jail cell, and he tries to do the right thing, but he ends up, like, hurting his back from an injury.
And he pulls people over and steals crack from them, and then, like, has, like, his own, like, drug ring with, like, exhibit. And then the best part is, like, the case he's trying to solve, which is, I think is, like, a murder or something, possibly, but then, Nicolas Cage is so over his head, and, like, people are dead and everything, and all of a sudden, like, the editor's just like, hey, great work on a case! It's like, it's basically in Men in Black, where, like, they come up, like, when, like, Tommy Jones first meets Will Smith and neuralizes everybody and makes, like, gets rid of all the paperwork. That's basically what happens in the Battle of the Head, everyone's just like, yeah, great job!
I don't know how you solved this, but you did. Yeah, it's like this big climactic ending where everything should go wrong, but it doesn't. It like wraps up neatly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so definitely go check out our Tumblr. Definitely check out the top 10 list. We'll hopefully have a new Nicolas Cage commentary coming up in the near future. So keep your eye on the site for that. We got to figure out what movie we're gonna watch, but we'll figure it out and we'll get our Cage on. Follow the ABCs of Always Be Cajun. So moving on to other news. I think it was announced at CES actually this week. But there's a new Alien game coming.
Isolation.
Yeah, Alien Isolation coming to next-gen consoles. I think possibly PC, and then, I don't know. Is it current-gen, too? I think it's just next-gen.
No, they wanted to current-gen.
Uh-huh.
But who knows?
Yeah, hopefully just wiping the taste of Alien Colonial Marines out of everyone's mouth. You guys play that, Colonial Marines?
I watched it. It's
it was terrible. Yeah, it was god-awful.
Like, if it came out in 2004, it would have been, like, a decent game. But now it's, like, yeah.
It just, it's, the way it, like, fits into, like, the continuity is just so stupid. It makes absolutely no sense.
It makes Alien Resurrection look
great. Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this new game is a little bit better. It's taking place between Alien and Aliens. It's actually going to follow Ripley's daughter, Amanda. Who apparently gets into her own xenomorph adventure.
It just runs in the family, yep. Doesn't it?
And it says it's going to be more survival horror, which is probably a good thing.
Anything.
Which is what Aliens should be, good. Instead of just like... It's like call. It's Doom. Like yeah. It's like Doom 3 or something.
Yeah.
It could have done that. It just.
It really was Battlefield with Xenomorphs.
Yeah. Dumb Xenomorphs. I don't know if you guys seen any of those videos where like people were like beat the level without firing a shot because the aliens were just like standing there motionless.
Yep.
I was watching the multiplayer where like it's programmed to always hassle one player.
Yeah.
It targets you and it's just like it's so bad. It's like because the development team didn't, they weren't the same ones doing the multiplayer, so the multiplayer team didn't know what the single player team was doing. It's hilarious.
Oh, God. There's one part where, like, you have to, like, go, there's, like, apparently, like, the aliens, when they're ready to die, they go into, like they shed their skin or something, or, like, they become zombies. I don't know. There's a part where, like, you have to, like, walk through, like, zombies, you know, more of it's the stupidest thing ever. I don't know, there's a video trailer up on a bunch of sites right now, if you want to go check it out. Hopefully it's cool, because it'd definitely be nice to have, like, a cool Aliens game.
Finally. Well, Alien vs. Predator.
Yeah, Alien like, the old, like, PC ones. Like, Alien vs. Predator, Predator 2. Not, like, the new one that came out, like, 2 years ago or something.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah. Yep, so we'll keep an eye out on that one. Moving on to other news. Apparently, as if X-Men Days of Future Past wasn't cramped enough, apparently Toad is back.
Yeah.
Everyone's favorite mutant, Toad. Not played by Ray Park this time. It's going to be a younger Toad.
How?
Well, I mean, it's taking place in the 80s, Chris, so...
Well, okay, because there was a Toad in X-Men Origins who was, like, youngish. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
And I don't know, the guy who's playing Toad is Evan Jonigkite. I have no idea what he's been in. Maybe nothing, I don't know. Like he doesn't like all, on all sites that usually they have like this guy who's been in this and this, and all sites have just like it's this guy.
This is a person.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, so basically, I mean, pretty much any mutants that have ever been mentioned in the X-Men movies is gonna be in this movie.
Except for Rogue. Yep. I hope they mention her at least, not just like, and we never heard of her again.
Was she even born yet?
No, she would be too young.
Because what was she in the first movie, like 14 or something?
I think she was like 16.
And that was like 99 or something, so.
Yeah, that was. Or like 98, I think.
I mean, I guess technically she could be in the weird future, but.
That would make sense, but I guess they're saving that for the next movie?
Apocalypse.
Not really a spoiler alert, they said that like halfway during production of this movie.
I don't know. Days of Future Past is definitely like one of my most anticipated movies of the year.
Yes, for sure.
So, other news from this past week. Louis C.K. apparently announced on his also all over the place on like his website, Twitter, and everything that he's going to be putting his first movie he ever made up on his site for $5, and you can go download it.
Pootie Tang?
Not Pootie Tang. Before Pootie Tang. I think it's called Tomorrow Night is the name of the movie. And it's got, like, Steve Carell and Amy Poehler, a bunch of people who were, like, way before they were famous. It's like a black and white, like, super indie movie.
Oh.
I guess it was at Sundance in, like, the 90s, and it just never got picked up.
Could be. I'm not sure.
I mean, you can check it out for $5 on movie's site in, like, later this year. So.
Well, that could be cool. I'm a fan of old Louis. Mm-hmm.
He's pretty awesome in American Hustle. You gotta check that out.
I didn't realize he was fucking in it.
He's Bradley Cooper's FBI boss. He was telling him a story about ice fishing.
Jesus Christ.
Is that a metaphor?
Yeah, but the joke is like, the joke is that Bradley Cooper keeps interrupting him and like trying to figure out what the metaphor is, and then Louis is like, that's not it! Let me finish the story! And then last bit of news for this week is that Marvel and Disney finally announced that I think one of the last Star Wars things they haven't really talked about yet is the comics. They're currently at Dark Horse. But in 2015, Marvel is going to be back publishing Star Wars comics permanently.
Wow.
Yeah, they tried it in the 70s, and it was terrible.
The Further Adventures of Star Wars, where they had like that, like one of the like the crazy like Bucky O'Hare bounty hunter that showed up, like a giant rabbit that was like hunting Han Solo.
Well, because they only had like the first movie or second movie to work on, so they didn't know the universe was gonna be like. So they rushed production on a lot of things.
Yeah, there was some crazy stuff.
I kind of like the Dark Horse side stuff. It was actually really
nice. Because Dark Horse is doing a conference, it's just called Star Wars.
The one on the original script.
Let's the Star Wars, which is based on the crazy original script where like Chewbacca was like Han Solo was like, a lizard alien and stuff, and it had like Luke Starkiller and all this other crazy stuff in it. That's pretty cool because it's like this crazy alternate universe. But the one is just called Star Wars, and it picks up right after A New Hope. And it's really, really good. Like, all the characters you want doing stuff that you want to see them doing. like Luke and Wedge are, like, in this, like, super secret X-Wing squadron. And, like, Han and Chewie are trying to get, like, supplies from, like, Coruscant Underworld and all this other stuff going on. Yeah, so they'll be able to do that for another 2 years, and then Marvel will have all the Star Wars comic book rights.
Amassing that Disney money.
Maybe we can get like some sort of ridiculous crossover. Maybe we can get like the Patton Oswalt crossover that they talked about.
And Parks and Rec, yeah.
Or like the Blackbird fights the Millennium Falcon or something. So, anyway, that's for news this week. So let me get into the new Roadshow Roundup for the week. And our pick this week is Archer Season 4. just in time for Archer season
five. Andor, hello.
Man, yeah, last season was so great. I mean, every season of Archer is great, but last season was really great.
Yeah. Well, the show has finally hit its stride, mm-hmm. I think. Like, it knows its formula. Yeah, and I don't mean this in a bad way. I mean, it has a fan base now. You know? Because I feel like the first two seasons, people were just sort of catching on, and then by season three, it started really coming into mm-hmm. itself. But I think by now, it's just kind of like, you know, they've really hit their stride. I
mean, they kicked off with, like, the Bob's Burgers crossover.
Yes,
and finished off with the
C-Lab
2021, like, double starter.
Yep. That was incredible.
Yeah. And then just, like...
They're like Metallica in 89, uh-huh. or Batman in his 30s. They're just on top of the world.
So many awesome episodes in between. There's, like, the episode where, like, Timothy Oliphant showed up.
Yeah, that was beautiful. The sniper, so great.
And then
great.
The episode where, like, Anthony Bourdain was the bad guy.
Yeah, that might be my favorite episode.
The episode where, like,
just because I love Anthony Bourdain.
The episode where, like,
so
Archer
much.
Got bit in the taint by a rattlesnake.
That was also I mean, really, every single episode you could go through. And I've never seen an episode of Archer that I was
it
like,
sucked.
Eh. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, I've seen episodes that weren't as good as some of the others, but I've never seen one that I was like, oh, that fucking wasn't worth my time. Like, yeah, really. And plus, I missed the first season. I missed it. I found it when they added it to Netflix, and I was like, oh, let me give it a try. And then by, like, halfway through the second episode, I was like, what the hell have I stumbled upon? Like, I need to tell the world about this. I need to go to the top of Mount Everest and, like, scream its... proclaim its glory.
Yeah.
Like,
I was
incredible.
A fan of Frisky Dango, so that's why I kind of got into mm-hmm. Archer. The precursor to Archer.
I guess the season's going to be... Like, it says season 5 is going to be a radical departure.
What does that
mean? I don't know if you guys saw the poster, right? Like, the super awesome Miami Vice poster. This is Archer on the beach in, like, a white, like, suit jacket and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway, that's our pick of the week. Definitely check out Archer if you haven't seen it, because it's amazing. Also this week we have Runner Runner, which is the Justin Timberlake, Ben Affleck poker movie, or like online poker movie.
The true life, gritty story behind FullTiltPoker.com.
It's basically, Justin Timberlake like basically gets ripped off on one of those sites, and basically like, I'm going to go to the fucking Caribbean to find the guy who made this site. Turns out it's Ben Affleck on a yacht. Also, I have one of Chris's new favorite shows, The Following, season 1 out this week.
Nah.
Worst show ever.
Oh.
He's just a boy. Let him have an opinion.
Shut up, Chris.
Listen, it's... I walked into it with no understanding what it was about. The first episode was like, oh, this is about like a killer Edgar Allan Poe fan club. I was like, holy shit, yes. And then
Poe.
It was just like the first episode is some guy dressed in a Poe like latex mask.
Doesn't,
I'm like, oh my god.
Nice.
It doesn't quite reach the so bad it's good level for me. It never crossed over to that threshold.
Yeah, it got interesting where it's like, it got formalic where they introduce, like, a second or third cop or something. It's like, come with me in this room. That guy always gets killed, you know? Just, like, it's always guaranteed
always,
that guy is
because it's always, like, a protege with them. Like, no matter where you go, there's always, like a Poe fanatic killer with you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's always in the room with you. You just got to figure out which one's going to be it. And that guy is somehow super efficient mm-hmm. as a killer.
Well, obviously.
But the thing is, they have no formal training. They're just like, yeah, I like to kill. Okay, cool.
Read this book I wrote about Edgar Allan Poe. I'll sign it for you. So also have, not the Nicolas Cage version, unfortunately, but the original Wicker Man on Blu-ray this week, which is actually a good movie, according to everything I've read. I've never seen the original Wicker Man, but I've heard it's amazing.
It's slow.
I've heard it's really...
It was a different time.
I've heard
time.
It's really, like, a really great, like, 70s horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
Well, and the terms are, like, the hero is, like, tormented, and the cult is, like, very, not Southern Baptist-y, but whoever was popular in the 70s, like Hare Krishna-ish.
Yeah, nobody like kicks ass in that movie, you know? It's more like, yeah. what how will I figure this out? You're like watching a man's life fall apart pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Also have Copper season 2 out this week, which is a BBC America, like, I think it's like Victorian New York City cop show.
Well, sign me up.
I think Ripper Street is better. Like, if you're comparing like BBC shows, Ripper Street's a little bit better, like a little more fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek Enterprise season 3 is out this week.
Cool.
Killing Field, 30th anniversary. I had to watch that in social studies in high school. Close Circuit is out in Blu-ray this week. I don't know if you guys remember. It came out last year. It was Eric Bana, Rebecca Hall, like, courtroom thriller set in England.
You know how I do love my
your fake
like, courtroom thrillers.
Courtrooms where you throw fake wigs. I don't, like, I can't believe this is a thing in, like, court in, like, England, you have to wear, like, those crazy fake wigs and, like, robes to go to court.
I don't think that's real.
Yeah, they have to put on wigs to, like, test, like, be lawyers in Britain.
They're so silly.
I thought that's for, like, high court or something. I don't think that's the real, they still do that.
I thought that was in, like, Downton Abbey. I didn't think that still actually happened.
It was in the trailer for that movie, so.
Fuck me.
Throne of Blood is part of the Criterion Collection this week. The Akira Kurosawa classic.
Slayer album?
Tequila Sunrise is on Blu-ray this week.
That's an insane movie.
Mel Gibson.
It's like Mr. Adams and. Oh, I thought it was, what's his face? Mr. Adams. Raw Julia, right?
What?
Gomez Adams?
Yeah, isn't he in Tequila Sunrise?
Probably. Yeah, he is. But it's starring Mel Gibson and Kurt Russell.
Hmm.
I prefer to get my Raw Julia from Street Fighter and Overdrawn at the Memory Bank.
Overdrawn at the Memory Bank.
Yeah.
One of the best Mystery Science Theater episodes ever.
Fingle
for Tingle?
Outrageous! Cutlets!
Oh god. isn't it like doppeling or something is the thing they do? And they put you in like a mind of like an animal?
Oh god, yeah. We could be on for a while talking about that. But
duple doppled finger Fingle?
Yeah, I love when it's just like inside the mind of Raul. Julia,
like,
oh, like, oh, I guess I'm a bunny rabbit now. What's going on?
I'm gonna go somersault on that hill.
And then this is pretty cool.
It's like the Matrix, like if like Neo and the Matrix like turned everything into Casablanca.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got away with like him Casablanca all over that movie though.
Because I don't think anybody realized that movie.
It was a PBS like original movie.
Oh well, there's your answer.
Anyway, House of Lies season 2 is also this week. I've heard things about that show.
Apparently, it has
people in it. Big Ass Spider's out this week.
Hell yeah, it is.
I've been looking forward to check that out. I'm surprised that hopefully it seems like a Netflix, like it should be on like the day and date on Netflix.
The moment you like buy it, it's just like Netflix.
And you're just like,
Urgh. The minute they ship it to me, it'll be on. Yeah. But yeah, definitely support Big Ass Spider. I mean, those guys are awesome, and they really want to do a sequel, so let's make it happen.
Badges of Fury is out this week, which is a new Jet Li movie.
Oh.
Whoa.
I'm going to assume cops, because it's Badges of Fury.
I'm assuming Asian, because Jet Li.
Yeah.
That too.
Birth of the Living Dead, which I believe is a documentary about George Romero.
Aw.
Monster Rancher season 1 is out this week. It was like the third or fourth run of like It's not Pokemon. It's not Digimon. It's like, what else can we, like, exploit?
God damn it. We're going to make it work. Kids still like pocket monsters.
Yeah, I used to watch that.
Remember the game you could, like, put your, like, a different CD in, and it would make a monster based on that CD?
Yeah, that was, like, kind of creative, but it was, like, a pain in the ass, because if you're, like, a poor kid who doesn't have a lot of CDs, and you gotta go around, like, finding discs to put in your PS1.
Yeah. I'm gonna put this, can I put your, like, Tom Clancy book on tape into my PS1, Mom?
It was also a weird time when, like, CDs were kind of expensive, too, so it's like, who has, like, over 50 CDs to get, like, 50 monsters?
How do I put my cassette in here?
It'll work, but it'll work!
I'll put my Now 2 CD in this thing.
Yeah, oh, it's a good thing I bought all the Nows.
It'd be hilarious if, like, that gave you, like, the most powerful monster in the game, you put in, like, Now, that's what I call music, like, volume 13 or something.
This is a compilation? My God. They're in the handles.
It'd be hilarious if, like, the worse the album was, the better the monster you got.
Oh, God. Well, just put on the soundtrack to the first Batman movie, and you'll get, like, Infinity Monsters.
A Prince Monster. I'm
gonna put To the Extreme by Vanilla Ice.
This comes out.
Anyway, that's it for New Year's this week, so I'm gonna get into a show and tell. And, Joe, what have you been watching over the last week or so?
Well, okay, let me just, go right out here and say, you might want to get scared for this. You know? So anyway, in some sort of order, I saw We're the Millers, which was interesting.
We're trying to, like, catch up on, like, 2013 movies, Joe?
A little bit. I was also drunk on a plane when I saw this, so that...
It's probably the best way to see it.
Yeah, oh, for sure. My I won't say the name of the airline, but it rhymes with, Bet Schnoo. They were, severely delayed, so pretty much by the time we got up in the air, they were just silently comping our alcohol, meaning that they just never gave you the bill. And they said that whatever movies you wanted would be complimentary as well. So, basically, I just got right to work, as you can imagine. And, true story, you get drunker faster when you're that high up. So, take that with you, kids.
Science. A little
real-world science for you from Everything Action. The more you know. So, We're the Millers, I thought it had some funny moments, but really it just seemed to me kind of like a Jason Sudeikis, like, stand-up routine. You know, where it's like, oh, it'd be funny if Jason Sudeikis said this. It'd be funny if Jason Sudeikis said this, too.
Or like a...
Jason Sudeikis.
Like an extended SNL sketch?
Pretty much. I mean, it was definitely one of those movies where the trailer shows everything worth seeing. But there are still some pretty funny moments in it, like I said. It's just overall, like, it's just not really a great movie. Probably wouldn't see it again. Probably wouldn't really recommend it, but if it's on, you should probably just check it out once.
There's definitely,
you know, because,
like, definitely one of the lesser, like, because there's so many awesome comedies last year, it was definitely, like, one of the lesser ones.
Yeah. I feel like if this movie had come out 2 years ago, it probably would have been, like, much more.
It's not as
more,
bad as, like, Identity Thief. But.
Oh, no. It's better than Identity Thief. I think it's better than, fuck. Well, okay, definitely Identity Thief.
Yeah.
But I think a movie like The Heat, like, totally owned this movie, you know? Like, I don't think anyone was expecting The Heat to be as good as it was. But yeah, so We're the Millers. Not great. I also saw Monsters U, finally. And, you know, I think I said it on the last podcast, or mentioned it, rather, honorable mention for my top 10 of the year. I really enjoyed it, man. I mean, I just think there's a certain magic to these Disney Pixar animated movies. I feel like they've yet to drop the ball. Like, I've yet to see a Disney Pixar movie that I was, like, outraged by. And yeah, I mean, Monsters U was just such a great movie on so many levels, like, for kids and adults. You know, even the visuals obviously were, like, really spectacular at the time, and they still hold up. And, you know, that's a lot of pressure going into a sequel, especially something that was a prequel like this, and it was going to be very hard to sort of keep that charm. This is a very roundabout way of saying that I really enjoyed it, and I highly recommend it. So check that out. I saw Kevin Hart, Let Me Explain, which isn't usually in our wheelhouse, but I'm a huge fan of stand-up comedy, and I'm a huge fan of Kevin Hart, and I don't think it's his best, but it's still pretty goddamn good. Like, even Kevin Hart on his worst night is still one of the top 10 comics on the planet right now. So definitely worth checking out. I watched around Christmas, right before Christmas, because you gotta, and my girlfriend had never seen it, had a screening of the original Die Hard. And goddamn, if that's not just one of the best fucking action movies ever made. I mean, I know it goes without saying, but if you just, like, watch that movie every couple of years, especially after, like, ass-kicking movies come out, it just keeps holding up, man.
It redefined the entire genre.
Well, it really did, but I mean, like, even compared to, like, modern action movies, like, it holds up. It's better than a lot of them. And here's a perfect example. Without harping on about Die Hard, because, I mean, really, what else could we possibly say about that movie? I shotgunned that with Dread. So, basically, I set it up like this for my girlfriend. She wanted to see both movies. And I said, let's start with Die Hard, because, you know, it's older, it's more of a classic. Like, let's watch that first. Because even if it's not your cup of tea, like, Dread is pretty crazy. So that's like a good closer, right? And I gotta tell you, man, I love Dread so much. I thought it was awesome. But watching it after Die Hard, man, it knocks it down a peg.
It really knocks every movie down a peg.
It really does, man. It's so true. And, like, that just speaks to what I was talking about Die Hard holding up as well. I mean, they're very similar. I mean, it's basically like a, you know, you're trapped in this building, like, sort of hostage situation in Dread, kind of ish. You know, like, they're similar. They're cut from the same cloth, I would say. Die Hard definitely influenced Dread. Not as much as, you know, like, The Raid, but, you know, it's definitely there. And, yeah, I think Die Hard is the better movie and the better action movie. Dread is definitely more, like, brutal. And it's got some great shit in it. But, oof. Good times. Point of the story is that was a great night for beer and action movies.
I mean, Dread is basically perfect.
It really is, man. And that was Bruce Willis when he was, like, the baddest motherfucker alive. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, that was Bruce Willis where it's like, oh, man, he's so gritty.
So cool.
He's so cool. Like, he's funny.
Bruno's the man.
But he'll kick the shit out of you. Like, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty great. And just, like, Officer Winslow Begins, like, that never gets old.
Alan Rickman just never gets old.
Oh, come on. Hans Gruber, that's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful with his fucking who knows what accent that is accent, but whatever, man. So, moving on after the Die Hard and Dread double barrel shotgun action bukkake, I also saw back-to-back, Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 12. Not in the same night, thankfully. But, yeah, Ocean's 11, I mean, I think it's a charming movie. You know, definitely, like, I would say a worthy remake of the original. The original is a little, unlike Die Hard, it's one of those movies that has charm to it. Like, it's got the nostalgia factor to it. It's definitely like a time capsule. But having said that, it doesn't hold up. You know, like, I wouldn't put this up against, like, I wouldn't put the original Ocean's 11 up against some of the better, like, heist movies, you know, or, like, team crime movies. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so the remake, you know, it's good. Is it the best, like, action comedy you'll ever see? Probably not, but I don't know, it's just got some sort of, like, sexy charm to it. You know, there's something about those badasses getting together and planning that heist. You know, it's when Brad Pitt was still tolerable to me. You know, before the whole Angelina Jolie mess, and before he had like a African country in his house. and then Ocean's 12 is just like, I don't know, man. I mean,
it kind of goes up its own ass.
It is bad. Yeah, it's. I know, it loses all of that charm.
Oh man, Julia Roberts is playing Julia Roberts, guys.
Right, like it was too tongue-in-cheek, yeah. And it wasn't even that clever to begin
with.
It's like,
oh my god, Julia Roberts, you look like a Julia Roberts.
What?
I get that all the time.
Oh my god. Yeah.
It's so arrogant in that universe that Julia Roberts still exists.
Yeah. It was too meta. It was too meta. Like, it was better in the beginning of that movie when they're just sort of, like, hinting at it, you know? But, I'm not a fan of Ocean's 12.
I think 13 kind of brought it back a little to, like...
Yes. Oh, it's bookended. It's a classic bookend. I own the trilogy. I own the three-pack. And Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 13 are great. Yeah.
Ocean's 12 is like a crazy casino owner.
Wah!
Everything's gold! We have golden fountains! We're gonna spray it like
I'm out of eggnog. You're out of eggnog. You're a rat bastard, Charlie Brown. Okay, so after the Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 12 debacle, hang on to your hats, kids. I watched the entire first season of Arrow.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, if I'm Marvel, I'm taking fucking notes.
Arrow. That list of the top five things Marvel needs to learn.
Dude, yeah, read Zach's list, everyone at Marvel, but really everyone on Earth, and everyone listening to this podcast if you haven't already read it. And you know what? If you read it, fuck it. Help us out. Mm-hmm. Read it again. But, goddamn. I'll tell you what, it takes a few episodes to sort of find itself, and like, as with most shows, the pilot isn't great, but it's also not really a solid representation of what the show, like, evolves into. And yeah, I mean, by the fifth or sixth episode of Arrow, like, you're really in it. I would say when Diggle,
third episode in, you have Deadshot already, so...
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, and, mild spoilers here, but, you know, by the time you come to find that that's not, like, the Deadshot...
Well, no, I'm talking, you're talking Deathstroke on the island.
Oh, I'm sorry, Deathstroke, like, yeah.
Sniper.
Okay, so, but even that, yeah, I mean...
Well, right, within the first, like, minute of the show, they have the Deathstroke mask, so...
Exactly. So they're throwing heat at you from the beginning. They're throwing Easter eggs at you. They're throwing as much fire as they possibly can, and it fucking works. And it works real well. So, and by the way, the action, tremendous. Yep. Like, it kind of, for lack of a better way of describing it, it kind of brings, for me at least, back that nostalgic, like, mid to late 90s WB action series charm to it. Like, not Jack of all trades, but, like, that time period, you know what I mean?
Oh, like Hercules action?
Right, where, like, it's not as formulaic, where it's like, oh, at the 22-minute mark, there's gonna be, like, a 5-minute fight scene. Like, it's not that formulaic, but... It definitely, you can guarantee that there's going to be action in every episode. He's going to be Arrow at least two or three times. Like, there's going to be some, like, further development
tell,
going
like,
on.
Stephen Amell,
you know?
Like, definitely, like, did some Arrow, like, bow and arrow training.
Yeah, oh, he's a bad dude, man. I mean, he's doing his own stunts and, like, you know, he looks the part, too.
He's like,
no
the fucking, like, salmon climb, like, every episode.
Yeah, that gets a little bit much, especially when he starts doing stuff that isn't really that hard, and I'm like, all right, dude, why don't you just do some fucking, like, Pilates, too?
Well, that was, like, I mean, that's, like the first season, you can definitely feel, like, the CW of it a little bit, because, like, there's a love triangle between, like, Oliver and whatever, the other, like, Tommy and then whatever.
Yeah.
His sister. Well, if you get second season though is ridiculous because they basically just it's all just nonstop comic action craziness.
That's what I hear, and I'm so pissed because every like service I subscribe to is up to like season 2 episode 5. So I guess I'm just going to have to buy like the first 4 episodes mm-hmm. or something, cuz I really want like I don't want to go to like streams.ru and watch it with like Cantonese subtitles, you know, like
yeah.
I want to enjoy it because I really really like the show. But yeah, yeah, man,
they
I
put
mean,
like they put like fucking like Laurel on like the back burner and bring it like it's just like all right, League of Assassins, like God. League of Assassins and Brother Blood and possibly Venom yeah. oh, and possibly all this other stuff going on.
By the way, street cred for not calling it the fucking League of Shadows like a bunch of pussies. Yeah. It's the League of Assassins. It always has been and it always will be because they fucking assassinate yeah. people. Okay? They don't hide in the shadows and come out and tickle you with feathers. They fucking kill you. Okay? Fucking PG-13 bullshit. Anyway, Arrow kicks ass. I highly suggest watching it. I'm kind of embarrassed that it took me as long as it did to come around, and I could blame my girlfriend for getting me in, or thank my girlfriend for getting me into it.
So it's so comic booky.
It really is, and the crazy thing is that, like, as stuff was coming up, like, okay, for instance, and this is how you know this show is serious about the comics, I think it's, what, like, 6 episodes in? You have the Huntress. Yep. And it's like, well, Jesus Christ, like, no one has mentioned Huntress before outside of Birds of Prey, and they tried to work, but no one was fucking watching it.
Season 2, Black Canary.
That's what I hear. And, man, it's just, like, it's so refreshing to see that. And like, she was like, oh, is Huntress in the comics? And I was like, is Huntress in the comics? And I'm, like, running to my bookshelf, pulling out, like, Batman No Man's Land Volume 2. Like, look, here she is. And she's like, oh, cool. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Because now I'm, like, converting, you know?
And the stuff in, like, the present day is awesome, too. But, like, all the stuff in the island is awesome, too.
The stuff on the island is so badass, especially when he meets the real Slade. Like, that was just fucking tremendous.
Crixus the undefeated Gaul.
Yeah, man. It's just great. It really is a great show. If you're not watching it, you need to get your shit together. It's on Netflix. You know, I can't recommend it mm-hmm. enough, man. I really can't. And
the only thing I could say is the cover needs a little work, because it's like him shirtless, and I was like,
to sell that to get it on CW, I think.
Right,
yeah, that's
sell the fuck out of that teen drama angle. And that teen drama angle is there a lot, but I'll be the first to say...
In the first season. The second season, like I said, they dropped that pretty much all the
Sure. But listen, man, I'll be the first to defend it, because it does push the narrative of the first season along really well.
It's not...
And it sort of sets up a Dark Knight-esque... dilemma.
I was gonna say, like, at least it's doing something, like, instead of, like, S.H.I.E.L.D., where it's just, like,
where it's just mindless flimflammery for no fucking reason. Yeah. Yeah, there's none of that shit going on, thankfully. But with this dude, like, it's there, but it makes sense, and it pushes the story along, and very, very rarely was I ever like, oh my god, what are we doing?
Definitely, like, all that relationship build-up stuff, like, pays off in the season finale, which is ridiculous.
Oh, the season finale was bonkers, but, yeah, it definitely pays off. Love all the cameos, love all the stuff that they set up, love the fact that it obviously takes place in a bigger universe. Mm-hmm. I mean, he goes to Bloodhaven in one episode, even though it's for, like, 2 minutes, but he's still in Bloodhaven. Central City, I mean... Obviously, they're talking about bringing Nightwing onto the show. Star Labs has been mentioned several times.
They make some great Batman jokes, even though they never mention Batman. But there's some great, like, where did you get all these toys or whatever? you know, millionaires and their toys.
You know, as billionaires and our gadgets. So they're definitely like kind of trying to
and definitely just like. Definitely the second season, they're trying to get as much Batman as they can without actually having Batman in it.
Oh, for sure. Because here's the thing, man. I mean, I think the end game is eventually for them to have every Batman character they possibly
can,
except Batman
himself.
They're
going to have Clock King show up later this season.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Well, first of all, I think it was genius, really, to have, like, Deadshot and Deathstroke be such pivotal characters in the series, because they really are mercenaries in the DC universe. And you know what? There aren't a lot of quality DC villains that share, you know, multiple heroes. You know, I mean, Marvel, I think, has the much better universe for villains. And what I mean is that, you know, Daredevil villains can be Spider-Man villains, can be Punisher villains, can be X-Men villains. You know, but that doesn't really translate as well in the DC universe, except for the ones that they chose to include so far. So I just hope we keep seeing even more of that. I like the idea of Huntress being like an uneasy. I like the idea of Huntress being his Catwoman, pretty much, which I don't think they ever did that in the comics, but really it doesn't matter because it works fine for the show. And yeah, I just can't wait to see what they do next with it. I'm really excited to catch up with it and get up to the Flash stuff. And I'm hopeful that if the Flash series, whatever comes of that, follows this formula, that, you know, we're going to have an equally awesome show that just further expands the DC universe.
I'm super. If they do as good a job with like the Flash's villains they did with like the Arrow villains, it's going to be amazing.
I think what it really comes
Captain
down to
Cold
is...
and like Captain Boomerang and
fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. I think what it really comes down to, dude, is that like Arrow is an experiment. Okay? It's basically saying how like with Smallville you had Dawson's Creek with superpowers. This is kind of the opposite. This is like, what if you had a show that's about the Green Arrow, but you made it kind of CWE with the teen drama love triangle stuff. And it worked because it appeals to a lot of different people. It appeals to that audience, but it also appeals to the comic book audience. And then you've got that crazy hybrid of both. So I think as long as they keep up with this happy medium, like they're going to be successful, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if down the line, Batman versus Superman.
I think I read it's like pretty much far and away, like the highest rated CW show or something. So,
it was the highest rated show of theirs in 3 years. So, yeah, I think the formula works. And I think that, let's just keep building that DC universe, man. Because you're never going to catch up to Marvel at this point with the film universe. So, beat them with TV.
And I would say. If they got, like, Stephen Amell to be Green Arrow in, like, a Justice League movie, that'd be totally fine.
Oh, that would be great with me. I would be fine with that, but even if they don't have him in the movie, but maybe if they mention, as long as it's the same universe, I don't think he needs to be in the movie. Let me explain what I mean by that. I don't mean that I don't want the Green Arrow to be included, okay? All I mean is that if he doesn't make the movie, but yet Arrow becomes like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to Marvel's Avengers, you know what I mean? Where it's like they're clearly in the same universe. They talk about the events of the movies, but they just never really like officially cross paths. I would be fine with that. I'd be okay with that because I understand that it's a tangled web to try to bring those together. But if they could do it, fuck, that would be great. That would be really great. And especially for heroes like Nightwing or, maybe not Green Lantern, but possibly Wonder Woman or some incarnation of Wonder Woman.
Saying,
like
the Amazon on CW.
Yeah, man. I mean, I say bring it on. Especially if you could kind of get, like, the same creative teams to at least supervise
it. Yeah, get, like, the executive producers of Arrow just to be, like, the, like, overseers of the DC CW universe. Man.
Absolutely. I think that's the way to go. I really do. I think great things could happen. Arrow. Fucking watch it already. Sticking with the DC universe, I watched the Tim Burton Batman. It holds up. I mean, it's different, but it's a time capsule. You know what I mean? It's a Prince soundtrack. Michael Keaton is still my favorite Batman and Bruce Wayne. I don't care what anybody says. You know, it's just part of me. Moving on, I finally got to see the Wolverine.
Okay.
And I was brutally upset at Netflix because there's this bullshit trend with Blu-rays now. It wasn't always like this, but now you get the rental copies that have no special features, no extra anything. So I really wanted to see that unrated version, but alas, I was unable to. Got stuck with the theatrical version.
There wasn't an option to do unrated? It's just the Wolverine, that was it on Netflix?
Just the Wolverine. It was like play and like subtitles because they do that shitty rental only
buy the
copy
DVD
where there's like no graphic on the disc. Exactly. And I fucking hate that. If you're involved with that and you're listening to this, fuck you, man, because that's a dirty fucking thing you do. Either way, you're seeing money for me seeing your movie. So why are you going to fuck us out of it? Anyway. And especially considering that they used to do that. They used to just give you the copy of the movie, like, that had the graphic on the disc, and it would be, like, special features. And if there was a second disc, yeah, obviously you wouldn't get the second disc with it, but you could still, like, send away for it if you really wanted to see the special features that badly. But now I guess fuck us, right? So, anyway, going solely on the theatrical copy or the theatrical version of the Wolverine, I have to say, man, solid goddamn movie. And it definitely would have made my top 10 had I seen it in time to have it make my top 10. I think that despite its faults, that's the sort of Wolverine movie that we need to see, where it really is like the comic come to life. It doesn't need to, like, it can be heavily based in, like, the crazy and the fantastic and the sci-fi. Like, I loved the whole Japanese backdrop. I loved the fight with Silver Samurai. I loved the idea of just Logan being the badass, like, grifter loner that he's really supposed to be without somehow wandering into, like, the X-Men.
Yeah.
And helping them out. But even that, like, there's a little too much Jean Grey for my liking.
You're like, passive-aggressive ghost Jean, who's just like...
Yeah, oh my god.
Man, it'd be great if you didn't let me die, Logan. That would've been great.
I got one more without, like, you hassling me.
I know. Even from beyond the grave, she finds a way to, like, cuntily taunt him. But, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, man... Awesome movie, excellent action sequences too. Like that train sequence, god damn! I could only imagine what that shit was probably like, you know, in 3D. But it was still pretty goddamn impressive.
I'm trying to remember if I saw it in 3D or not. I think I did.
Man, even if you didn't, what a great fucking movie that was. And then last but not least, oh no, I'm sorry, two more. We're almost there, guys, we're in the home stretch. Saw Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, because I'm slowly taking my girlfriend through the Indiana Jones collection, and I'm tempted to just stop right there and tell her that...
Don't spoil it.
Despite what she's heard, there is no fourth Indiana Jones, and it was all just a bad dream.
Probably better show that, like, Young Indiana Jones Chronicles instead of Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah. So, Last Crusade, tremendous fucking movie. I'll tell you right now, I'm really not the biggest fan of the Temple of Doom. I think, and I might be in the minority here, but I feel like it's kind of like the Ocean's trilogy in the sense that it's bookended.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm just excluding the fourth movie completely here. But one and three are really where it's at. I feel like the second one, they kind of strayed away from what made the first one great, and they kind of brought it back around in the third, and it's definitely got that, like, grandeur to it, and it's got Sean Connery in it, so really, Julia. Spoiler alert, Sean Connery's in it, so really, how can you go wrong? And then, last but not least, I plowed through the first season, all six episodes of Parks and Rec, finally.
Woohoo!
The first season sucked, man.
Because yeah, it's basically, not gonna lie, Leslie Knope was basically Michael Scott.
Yeah.
Like, straight up yeah. Michael Scott.
Well, I mean, could we just be honest for a second and say that the show is The Office?
It definitely...
It becomes yeah, something it
like
finds,
in a government
it finds
office.
Its own tone, but that first season was definitely just, we're making The Office, part two.
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly what it was. I mean, even that same girl shows up who, like, Jim dated for a while, and I was like, this isn't fair. Like, I feel like you shouldn't be able to be in two, like, NBC shows at the same time yeah. and confuse me. But, because apparently I'm an 80-year-old man who needs to be explained.
They definitely
everything.
Pick it up in, like, the second season, and then definitely, like, the later seasons they've had. It's
good,
it's
good. Well, I mean,
the
I'm
Office,
like,
kind of.
Nah. I'm, like, three or four episodes into the second season. Like, Louis C.K. just kind of
yep.
showed up, which has been awesome so far. But
Ron Swanson.
Yeah, he's, you know.
Oh, he gets so better in yeah. second season. Like, all his backstory, all like his little hints at his past.
Yeah, so far, not really impressed. But
the first season's rough. It's the rough.
Oh,
part.
I'm done with it. I'm just saying, like, I'm gonna stick with it. It's just where I am now. It's kind of like
it's
a lot of hype.
Like, third season was pretty good. I think when Adam Scott and Rob Lowe show up is when it just kicks into overdrive. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Because they are both so great on that show.
Cool.
Rob Lowe, literally one of the best people on that show. Chris Traeger, cool. human. I feel like he said was like one of the things is like he had like heartbeat of like a 100-year-old tortoise or something. He's just like this crazy like fitness vegan insane person. Yeah, definitely it definitely gets way better as it goes along.
Cool, looking forward to it.
So, Chris, what'd you watch?
I caught up on my Dexter.
Okay.
On my season 7, and now I'm on season 8. I can feel like the writing went downhill. But,
yeah.
It's so...
Is eight
Ray
season?
Stevenson. Yeah, eight's
okay.
last season. They just added to Netflix. Like, Ray Stevenson was great, I thought. Like, as his weird English-Russian hitman gangster guy who shows up, and Dexter's kind of like, oh... we could have been friends at one point if they weren't like had a single mission, you know, if their lives intertwine in Miami.
Did you finish the season?
Yep. I finished season 7. So, and I'm on episode 6 of season 8 where like I feel it should just end. It ends in such a good point on season 8 at this point, but I know there's still like 6 more episodes where it just goes downhill. So, not to spoil much, but, like, Dexter finds out, like, who his dad's therapist was. He finds out, like, his connection to Harry's code, which, Zach, you don't watch Dexter.
I've not seen any Dexter, no.
Stop at season 4.
I've heard, yeah.
Yeah, stop at season 4, but it's good. It's like, they're just so, it's so much fluff that I'm like, God damn it. And I read the first book. And where, you know, like, some people died early, some people, like, don't even exist yet, and I'd rather see that. And then you get these, like, last-minute ideas kind of shoehorned in, where it's like, this would have been great if they introduced early on, like, Masuka's daughter shows up, and I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Like, what are they going to do with this? Like, I don't know. All these ideas come out of nowhere, and that's because they knew this was the end, so they're just going off, they're going balls out, like, depressing material to bring up, and I kind of hate that in a I don't know what to call this kind of category yet, like the dark horror or dark thriller.
No.
You know, like it's like
lost
oh,
its edge, man.
It did lose its edge. Like it could have ended on such a powerful note, but I know like it's the roller coaster ride downhill that like pissed off all
the
fans.
Has
the
kid called the treadmill yet? I just remember, that's the only thing I've seen, like, that's, like, the only clip, because it was on the soup and stuff, but, like, the only clip from, like, season 8 of Dexter is, like, the kid falls off the treadmill.
I'm pretty sure that's coming
up.
It's
the most dramatic thing ever, apparently.
Oh, you'll know it when you see it.
Like, I already know the ending, because the internet spoiled that for me, like, in my face. Just like how I found out the one of the endings to Breaking Bad. I was like, God damn it. Yeah, I Ramboed my way surviving.
Turns out he was a Smurf the whole time.
Yeah, I Ramboed my way from the internet trying to find specific wordings that pop up whenever I heard the words Breaking Bad or Walt. Uh-huh. Just anytime I saw that, I just, like, avoided the topic. But eventually, like, it caught me just by surprise. There was, like, this reference, and I was like, wait, what? And then a song reference, I was like, what? And then I was like, God damn it. And that's what Breaking Bad just boiled for me for that one part. So, thanks. I think it's been like 4 months since I tried to avoid Breaking Bad spoilers. I did pretty well.
You should just watch it, Chris.
I tried to. There was a day when I was like, okay, today's the day. I watched the final four. And AMC took it all off on demand. I was like, God damn it. So, but anyway, yeah. Dexter, season 8. Definitely, like, they should have killed it. I think at the end of season 7 they should have killed it, but, you know, they're just kind of letting this milk, they're trying to milk it. I didn't finish the story yet. I didn't finish, like, the book series. I'm not sure if this is, like, any accurate or not, but it's just off the rails now. So, I'm gonna finish that up and just, like, report back my whole feelings, I guess. I did watch a movie. I finally watched Parker, and it is awkward.
Oh my god.
Because J-Lo kind of shoehorns her way into this movie.
Like, it starts out as oh, this might be a fun, like, heist sort of movie.
Heist revenge thing,
then,
you know?
Then the whole middle hour and a half turns into, like, a J-Lo romantic comedy.
And it's not even romantic.
No,
it becomes just her,
hilarious,
like...
because, like, Jason Statham's like, oh, I got my younger hotter girlfriend up in my cabin up in the swamp, so whatever.
I've got my girlfriend who isn't as naggy or as Latino as you.
She's probably like 20 years younger than you, J-Lo, so whatever.
And probably less baggage. Yeah. Like, she complains during this whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
The first scene is her...
Whoa, a woman in a movie complaining? Stop it.
I know, but like, there's this part where, like, they reintroduce her when, like, she's sitting in his car, and she's complaining, and he's like, oh, he, like, hassles her because he has the right to. It's like, you're the ex-wife of this guy who I'm trying to rob from. Why should I trust you? She's like, oh, you know, I'm 40-something.
Jason Statham as a Texan.
Ah, he's just like, where are you from?
I'm
just
from around Texas. I've got a cowboy hat.
Yeah,
so.
I put on this... cowboy hat. I know. That is his only credential. Like,
I'm wearing cowboy boots and a hat, so you know I'm from Texas. Roy?
You believe me, right?
It seems like it takes forever for, like, this, like, kind of not even, like, a setup to, like, this end scheme that he has. Like, his end scheme, basically comes down to, like, him taping a gun under a table. But it takes, like, an hour and a half for him to, like, I guess find things or would it do something. I don't know.
Get, like, clothing or, like, doors. I kind of zoned in and out, to be honest, because it's just, like, certain parts. It's just, like, her complaining about, like,
he finds,
her, like,
prospects. He finds out where, like, Michael Chiklis and his gang is on, like,
day two
in Miami or whatever. And then it's like, well, what did you do for, like, the next, like, fucking week you were there, Jason Statham?
Oh, like, I met J-Lo. She showed me, like, her apartment. We complained a lot about, like,
almost,
checklists.
Almost
like,
threw a guy out a window, or I did throw a guy out a window.
So,
it's not really exciting. It's insane that this is the same character from Payback.
Yes. If you watch Payback and watch this, you're like, no. How? Because at least in Payback, he did things.
Yeah.
He, like, as soon as he, like, recovered, he's like, well, I got a plan on scheming. And this, he's kind of like, I like going on vacation.
Yeah, Miami's nice.
So, what else? That's about it. I try to watch Jack the Giant Killer. The spoof of Jack and the Giant, whatever one is.
Well, Jack the Giant Slayer is the actual movie, and then Jack the Giant Killer is the Asylum knockoff.
Is it done by the Asylum, though? Jesus. Okay. Well, I watched,
I'll get
like,
it eventually.
Half of it. Dude, I mean, not to spoil much, but it's not what you think.
It looks like it's, like, modern day.
It's like post-apocalyptic modern
day. It's like the giants are actually aliens and they took over the planet or something.
Something like that. It's like there's another dimension that lives. It's like the same. Okay, the only thing they borrowed from the real version was that there's like an alternate dimension above the ground, like above Earth, that you can get to if you summon a beanstalk. But
wait,
like,
there's not.
I know. I'm surprised. I guess like and like it's all the weird thing is the surviving area. They're all like somewhat British or something. Like it's just colonial times, but they have like mechs. They just use old tech to, like, battle for entertainment.
Okay.
It's so fucking bizarre. And I only got halfway through when, like, he went up and he's like, oh, there's just monsters. They're just, like, Cloverfield monsters living in the clouds. Cool. So it's just maybe not worth mentioning until you watch it as a series and then you're like, oh, holy shit, you know? And the production value is terrible.
As you'd expect.
Anything. As you it's as you expect from an Asylum film that isn't like Sharknado.
Well, actually, speaking of that, I can get into what I've been watching because I watched the latest entry of Enter the Asylum, which was 30,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which is the Asylum's take on 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Obviously, they had another 10,000 just to be more extreme, I guess, or something. But it's a modern day modern take on it, and you have Lorenzo Lamas as the main character, who is like this Navy engineer who invents this bubble that you can like breathe underwater in, and they basically send him on this rescue mission to find this nuclear sub, and it turns out that Captain Nemo attacked the sub with like his robot squids, and then like Nautilus is like this basically looks like a spaceship. It doesn't even look like a Nautilus or anything. It's just like someone like they rendered a spaceship for their movie and they just put it underwater for some reason. And he basically wants to get like these nuclear weapons and use the oxygen bubble to take over Atlantis because he found Atlantis.
He just do something.
Yeah, so he wants to like make a bubble of air over Atlantis and then move everyone into the ruins and rebuild there and then nuke the entire planet above him. And it's about as terrible as you expect it to be. There's not really a lot of action. It's just a lot of people like wandering through like vaguely submarine-esque sets and talking.
Although, like I looked at the cover and it's like a super like looks like a future poop attacked by like a giant squid.
Well, he invented like. Kind of like the Matrix squids, but they're like underwater, and they don't really attack things. They just kind of like hug them really hard. Because like at one point, like they're in like a mini sub trying to escape from the Nautilus or something, and they send the squids after them, and then somehow they just like shoot some air out or something, or like eject something, and the squid just like flies off and doesn't come back. The end of this movie is like. The most insane, like I have no idea what the hell is happening. Like, because things just happen. There's like no explanation for why they happen. Like, they'll be running through the sub, like, they're running through like away from the submarine, or running through the submarine, and then like some guy just joins them, and there's no explanation of like where he came from. It's just like, oh hey, it's him. Yeah, he's with us now. Okay, we're gonna blow up the Nautilus.
Oh no, that's how fucking Jack the Giant Slayer is too.
It's like.
Where it's like, oh, my friend can be in this shot right now, so
like,
just like
spoiler, be on set. They send the mini sub like they somehow like rig it so it's like remote controlled back to the Nautilus, and they rig it somehow so that it blows up and like the oxygen mixes with the nuclear missiles and it blows up the Nautilus because of science, I guess.
Sure, that's how it works.
So it's just like, oh yeah, I rerouted the Spitzer flux to the. Oxygen regenerator, and then we're gonna send it into the nuclear missile, and they'll cause a chain reaction to blow it up. And everyone's just like, "Okay."
It feels like
this was just kind of like a war, like the practice round for Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, which kind of has like a lot of the same elements of like mini subs and Lorenzo Lamas and squids. But yeah, the next one I'm gonna watch in a week or two is gonna be Alan Quartermain and the Temple of the Skulls, which I guess is I'm trying to rip off the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
It's a rip off of the actual Quartermain character.
Well, I mean, it's obviously they're trying to make Indiana Jones, so. I believe it was definitely 2008, so I think that's the year Kingdom of the Crystal Skull came out, so.
About, yeah.
Yep, so take a look at that in a week or two. As far as other movies I've watched, there's this really awesome Ray Harryhausen documentary on Netflix, if you want to check it out. I think it's Ray Harryhausen, I can't remember the subtitle, but you can find it. It's got, kind of a Indiana Jones-looking cover, like a Juice Juicen-looking cover. It's basically kind of just, hanging out with Ray Harryhausen for an afternoon, and him just going through every single movie he worked on, and just, inside stories and trivia, and, looking at, the original models that he made and all that stuff, so. It's really awesome just to see, how he made all of, those insane stop-motion characters he made. And they go through every movie, so, they don't skip anything. It's just hey, it's like, right here, tell us about this movie. Okay, I'll tell you about this movie for a little bit. Okay, we'll go to this movie now, tell us about that. Yeah, and just... It's tied into, because I guess there's I'm not sure exactly where it is, but I guess there's a Ray Harryhausen museum now, that has all the original models and a bunch of paintings he did and drawings he did to get everything set up and notes and all that stuff. So it's kind of tied into that, because that's the kind of end of the movie is hey, come visit the Ray Harryhausen museum.
Come see my shit.
But yeah, it's super, it's really awesome. You can see how he made the Kraken and Medusa and the Cyclops from Sinbad and the flying saucers from Invasion of Flying Saucers and all the amazing stop motion stuff. And then also I watched Quickly Down Under. Have you guys seen that one? Quickly Down Under?
Is that the one where he fights
Australia?
Yep. But he fights what's his face?
Yeah, he fights Alan Rickman, who's an evil rancher. And then he saved the Aborigines, and then he learns Aboriginal hunting, and then the whole plot is Alan Rickman's men are just slaughtering Aborigines for no reason.
But he's polite about it to Quigney though.
Well, he puts an ad in the paper, papers all over the world, come to my ranch in Australia, I need the best shooters. And then so Quigney's all right. And then he shows up and is oh, you're gonna be shooting Aborigines. And Quigley's I don't think so.
It's kind of the Prometheus, job application. Come to space with me for a few years, and then I'll tell you what the job is.
It's great, too, because, Quigley is, the best shot in movie history, basically. Because, he never, literally never misses in this movie. He's
Really? I thought he does near the end.
Maybe once. I don't know. But he's miles away from everybody, and he has his crazy custom rifle that he uses, and blasting shoots people off horses from miles away. It was oh my god, where did a shot come from?
Yeah, it's worse. It's actually easier to go up and punch him than it is to run away.
Yeah, he will shoot you when you run away.
As
possible.
He will find somehow to shoot you on a moving horse miles away.
And then he has a crazy prostitute with him the entire time, crazy Cora, who's just he's calling him Roy. He's I'm not Roy.
I do not to spoil much, where he gets his ass kicked. Him and the prostitute.
He's dumped in the desert.
Dumped in the desert, yeah, just well, here you go.
And, Alan Rickman just keeps sending guys after him, and they keep getting, murdered, and the horses come back to the ranch. He's like...
Well, it's you're wasting more time killing him than your main objective of killing Aborigines. And it paints such a bad image on British people in Australia.
Oh my god, they're the worst. They're just, executing, basically executing anyone who, runs away from them, and then it's, basically just allowing, a mass genocide to occur.
Or they're domesticating them. just like this weird manservant that he has.
It's a fun movie though. It's like plastic.
Yeah, it's
like,
fun. Don't get me wrong. Like we're highlighting just like the weird parts of it because I think it wasn't Quigley Down Under originally like a TV movie.
I don't think so.
Because I've seen it on TBS or TNT like years ago.
I don't know. So I don't know if it was during the like crazy Australia craze that happened in like the '80s. I think it might hit just before that. I think Crocodile Dundee is like the one that like kind of set off the entire like Australia craze.
Like, holy shit! Heard of the place called Australia?
Yahoo Serious Festival. So that's why I watched the movies, and then I watched a bunch because right now TV shows are either starting or coming back, and it's ridiculous. So just a couple shows I watched up to this week's show. I think you watched it too, Chris. Community's back. You didn't watch new episodes yet?
I still didn't finish last season.
Oh my god, Chris! Just skip it. Just skip it because they basically they're like because Dan Harmon's back, which is great for season 5.
Is Chevy Chase back gone in the new season? And then freaking what's his name?
Donald Glover's gonna be gone in about, I think about 6 episodes.
Well, because he just like walked away on the set.
They basically because everyone agreed like last season was not that great. So the joke of it, because obviously Community is super meta, they're basically calling last season the gas leak year. Basically everything that occurred last year was because of a gas leak at Greendale. That's why everyone was acting like out of character and acting like not really like the first 3 seasons and stuff. And like things kind of got weird and stupid. But yeah, it's back to where it was in like season 3, which is great. First episode is weird. First episode basically is weird, like kind of like resetting everything, and basically like they're calling it the repilot because it's basically like, the first episode all over again, or like basically like restarting the show. And then the second episode is just like great episode because they kind of have to figure out like, how to get everyone back in Greendale, basically everyone's retaking classes again, but Jeff is now a teacher, teaching introduction to law. That's kind of the awesome twist of it now is we're gonna get like kind of like meet more of the teachers that are at Greendale. And like his office mate is Jonathan Banks, aka Mike Ehrmantraut from Breaking Bad. It looks like he's gonna be kind of like the new like Chevy Chase replacement for a little bit because he's like they form this like Save Greendale like group. And, like, so it's, like, teachers and students joining together because they have to, like, figure out a way. Because I think Greendale's getting sued or something, or they need to raise money to save Greendale or something. So this is like, student-teacher coalition. So it's, like, so Jonathan Banks is, like, basically taking over the Pierce part. And he's super awesome. And then probably the best part of the second episode, though, is that there's a class that, like, Britta and Troy and Abed take called Nicolas Cage, Good or Bad.
That's awesome.
And the whole thing is just watch 5 Nicolas Cage movies and determine if he's good or bad.
Like and the show it, is good for those kind of weird moments.
Because they do a throwback. I don't remember if you remember the episode, Chris, where like I'm gonna take the class about who's the boss. And then he drove the teacher like insane, and because he figured out it was Angela or something, so he actually answered the question of who's the boss. So yeah, but kind of the joke of this one is like Abed can't figure out if Nicolas Cage is good or bad, so he goes insane. And it's amazing, just like he freaks out and starts acting like Nicolas Cage. I'm like in front of like, and the teacher is the drama teacher from like the conspiracy theories episode.
I'm sorry, Zach. I can't. My knowledge of Community is like dead. I haven't watched in like a year. So
you don't remember the episode where like it was conspiracy theories and it had like 5 twists at the end of it?
No.
We're like Jeff, he was like taking the class that doesn't exist, but then the teacher exists, or does he? And then ends with like this like crazy Mexican standoff at the end where like they think they shoot the teacher and then he comes up and then Annie thinks he shoot Jeff and then he comes back and it's like, oh, I did that to teach you a lesson about that lesson.
Oh, it was like the cop at the end. He's like, don't do that, right?
Yeah, the security guy shows up and is like, what the hell is going on?
And he gets shot. He's like, all right, I taught you guys a lesson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, my community is so, like, rusty. The episode that stands out more to me is the coin flip episode.
I mean, a lot of people will say that's probably the best episode.
Yeah, so that's just the one that stands out in my mind. That, like, or, like,
the important thing is that it's back to where it was, which is great.
Mm. Okay, so I could probably reintroduce myself and just be confused as hell.
Yeah, you can just jump in and just know that Pierce is gone, and with no explanation. You don't really need an explanation. Just pretend. You can just pretend season 4 didn't exist, and then you can just go right.
But mild spoiler alert: how did Starburst, Cyburns die? Like, it's just dead.
I think they said they're going to mention talk about that this season, but I think he was cooking meth or something, and he blew up in a van. I think.
He's like, I saw an episode of like his funeral. Yeah. And I was like, what?
But I thought one of the end of the clips during the credits was like him watching it or something and being like, accident or doing something evil.
Hmm.
I don't know. And then also other TV shows. I watched the first episode of Intelligence. Did you ever hear about that one or see that one, Chris?
I watched
Well, let's talk about that, Chris. What do you think?
Propaganda.
For what?
For Chinese. America? They're just like, oh, can we... No, like, I watched it. It was like, can this guy just be, like, every Asian role when they need him? Like, the main Asian...
Will Yun Lee? Like... Who's also, like, the evil... Wasn't he the evil North Korean bad guy from Die Another Day?
And the evil North Korean from Red Dawn.
Yep.
Just whenever you need him to be an evil Asian guy, he'll be in it. And he's also in Wolverine.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He's a archer guy. I can't remember his name.
Ninja. You know, I liked it because it stole a lot of shit from like Batman. He does the crime scene analyst.
What if we made a show about Detective Vision?
Yes, that is it. And I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. I feel like this should be just like a I feel like this should just be like a room, not like it could be like part of just any other cop show or fucking person of interest. Just like a room that just recreates a crime scene.
Yeah.
Or like looks at evidence. Because the guy doesn't really accelerate his skill. Like he doesn't fight better.
He had to be like they had to pick like a Delta Force Tier 1 like super badass guy.
It wasn't like Chuck, where they got like a nobody and they put a chip in him and he becomes a super badass. Like that's different. This is okay. We took like a really good guy and now made him even more impossibly like
hard to beat. We gave him Google Glass in his head.
yeah. It's Google Glass. The show.
Yeah, basically, like the future, like Google Glass version 2 they'll have in like a 2020 or something.
Yeah, and I missed something during the commercial, but when I came back, I couldn't figure out, like, the group of people who install the chips in people's heads that just, like, do this.
Well, so, kind of the plot of the first episode is that the guy who created the chip and implanted it into Sawyer's head...
yeah, I just looked at him as Sawyer.
...is kidnapped by the Chinese intelligence... a rogue Chinese intelligence officer, because they want to put it into one of their another chip for because he was bored I guess or something or
just because
and they wanted to put it into one of their agents who is all, but apparently you have to have some sort of like weird genetic thing in order to have it be compatible. It's some like weird like some DNA thing or some weird mumbo jumbo they use, but like apparently there's like female Chinese agent has it, so they like kidnap him to put it in her head. And so they're basically trying to find him and get him back before he can do that.
Well, because like in the part where they kidnap the doctor, they was like, okay, we want the other guy's ship too now.
Well, because he's like, well, I don't know if the ship will work or not. Like, or he was like getting Willian Lee was getting pissed off because it wasn't work. It just, she was like still in a coma and it wasn't working immediately. So he's like, "We need the chip that works."
Right, and then okay, so then it's like, okay, which one of the guy's partners who like, how do you qualify to be like an assistant? You know, like,
yeah,
you the guy picked just like the shittiest youngest like med students or something to help them.
It's like, who's the nerdiest computer nerd we can get? Okay, to you. Oh, I did like the twist that he was the, like, he was, he's not the regular on the show, he's the bad guy. Like, he's gonna be like a regular bad guy, not like a regular, like, I'm the wacky nerd part, sidekick guy.
He's gonna be a regular villain?
Well, he didn't get caught at the end of the episode. He's hanging out in, like, the Chinese, like, hideout at the end of the episode.
I was wondering how he escaped. Because at the end, yeah, and that's what I was, like, confused about. I was like, what? Is this a flashback, or is this, like... the next day? I don't know.
And then obviously the Chinese girl is going to be like an evil version of Sawyer.
Okay, so this is where I'm talking about the propaganda, where it's like, first off the bat, it's like, okay, hey, I need to find my wife. Oh, by the way, I got to fight the Chinese. Like,
yep.
And then it's like, the government hates him, but the government likes him, but then it's the CSI partner, like, fucking, what's her face from CSI
Marge
there?
Ellenberg.
And she's basically... Yeah, she's the same character.
Basically.
She is the same. She can't be, like, any other character in my head now.
Gotta break balls, man.
She's Catherine Willows. Just like, hey, Catherine, what are you doing?
I don't know if you know, but his, like, Secret Service partner that he has now.
Oh, Secret Service
partner? Yeah, it's from Steven Seagal Lawman. Or no, Steven Seagal True Justice.
Ah.
She's like,
I didn't know because she spends half the time getting captured.
She's like, in True Justice, she's like the stereotypical, like, I'm tough girl. Yeah. she's the one who, like, I don't even remember the episode where, like, she finds out there's, like, a guy in her neighborhood that, like, raped a girl or something, or, like, is, like, a sexual assaulter, and, like, she basically beats him to death.
No, I don't know that.
Because she got attacked once when she was... a few years ago, and it haunts her. So then she then Steven Seagal said they're undercover as like a stripper or something.
Yeah, this won't degrade you.
He goes,
wait.
That's my favorite episode, like one of my favorite things. That's, I think it was like the second episode of True Justice, where it's like, you guys have to go undercover as strippers. And I'm gonna go to the strip club and just hang out.
I think they're trying to catch a murderer.
Yeah, I think it was a serial killer or something.
Yeah, they're killing blondes.
The creepy like reporter guy.
Oh wait, was that the writer who was making like weird fan fiction come true because his mom was a
writer? His mom
wrote
Twilight.
Jesus Christ!
Oh my god!
I watched that episode and I was like, what? Yeah, but like in the first episode, for such badass people, they get kidnapped pretty easily. Like, within the first half hour, they're already kidnapped by the Chinese. Like, oh, hey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were betrayed by, like, their main, like, intelligence guy. even though like, Josh Holloway has, like, links up to a satellite, it can see everything.
He totally did not see that coming, though. Shouldn't he be like, hey, there's a lot of people outside
our house? I also love that, like, when he goes into, like, his, like, 3D crime scene, it's like, he's like, it's not really what happened, though, man. It's, like, what I think happened.
Yeah, which I was like, that's even weirder.
It's like, wait, it's like, you didn't see his face. It's like, it's what I think his face looked like.
I think he looked sad.
I think he knew the guy who kidnapped him. It's like, how do you know that, Josh Holloway?
Plot,
it's like
whatever.
It's like when you're dreaming and your brain makes connections in your subconscious.
I kind of understood that, but I kind of hope they weren't going with that angle where, like, his imagination fills in the gaps. At least in Inception, they're like, oh, we practiced this for, like, hours in slow time.
He's like, no one anticipated it could do this. What the fuck was the point of the project then to, like, give you an iPhone in your brain?
Well, it's like, if you really want to look up a word real fast, you could just think it and it'll access a database.
There were a couple cool like uses of it though. Like I really liked when he like kind of like helped the sniper rifle at the end, where like he was like he had the feed from the sniper rifle, and he was like guiding the doctor to like line it up.
But that's what Google Glasses could do too. Like
like
you didn't have to put a chip
like,
in your brain.
Like instantly let some like like translate language and stuff, and
he can, like, detective vision.
He can, like, unlock doors, apparently.
But not like real doors or bolts, just like digital
track doors. Yeah. I'll probably keep watching a couple more episodes to see where it's going.
It's a pilot episode, yeah. So it's just like you like it or hated it, but I was watching it with such a.
It's kind of. If it had come out before Almost Human, I think it might have been maybe fair a little better. After Almost Human, though, like it just kind of seems like kind of like lame, because like.
Yeah, because the robot could do half that shit.
And, like, and just like the world of Almost Human, like, looks so much better, and like there's way more crazy shit happening in Almost Human. I mean, granted, it's like the future in Almost Human, but like this is intelligence supposed to be like the most advanced thing we've ever created. It's just like, all right, he's got the internet in his brain. he's like Kurt Russell in like the computer wore tennis shoes.
Yeah, except he doesn't have, like, weird teen psychics.
Yeah, if Kurt Russell from Fear More Tennis Shoes was an FBI, like, a CIA agent.
And he knew how to throw a punch.
It's like, yeah, if you made, like, Jack Burton, but he got like, a few downloads in his brain. And just last TV show I watched is the season premiere of Justified, which was amazing, as always.
Heard it's good. You
jump on that, Chris.
Does he still say Justified after he kills someone?
He never said it.
No.
Yeah, but this season seems great. So much stuff happened in the first episode. There's so many of that guys. There's so many characters getting introduced. It was crazy. Like, they go to, like, you meet, like, the Canadian Mafia, which is Dave Foley and Will Sasso. And they go out and they basically go on this like 5-minute rant about Tim Hortons, and like David Koechner is like Raylan's partner for the episode when they go to they go down to Florida and like try to investigate something that happened down there, and Michael Rapaport is gonna be one of the main villains this year. He's because they're kind of flesh out like the kind of. They've had, like, a bunch of, like, crime families before that lived in, like, the Kentucky Hollers. Like, you had, like, the Bennetts and the Crowders. Now this season's going to focus on the Crows. Okay. Really, just, like, a bunch of, like, redneck cousins.
Kissing cousins?
No, I don't think so. Aww. But, yeah, it's fantastic, as always. And then, like, a ton of stuff coming up, like, later this week and, like, next week, too. It was, like, I definitely want to check out the first episode of Helix. I've heard it's amazing. On Sci-Fi Channel, have you heard that one, Chris? Basically, it's, like, if The Thing was a TV show. Because, like, it's like, an Arctic research station that gets, like, a disease outbreak in it. And then there's, like, Spoils of Babylon starting on Thursday. Which I'm super excited about. Like, just insane Will Ferrell produced miniseries.
Oh, we heard about that. Yeah.
We're starting IFC this week. So I've heard, like, I read the AV Club review today, and apparently it's like, it sounds like the greatest event in television history, kind of, where it's like, besides like just like the straight miniseries, there's like a ton of like backstory, like weird like universe building about the miniseries, because like Will Ferrell shows up as like the author of the book it's based on. And then, but he's just like a complete, like, he apparently like directed, produced, financed, and like wrote it. And it's just like, and it's a lot of weird, like, backstory that goes into the miniseries of like the fake characters that they are. Like, apparently, like, Kristen Wiig, like, the actress playing her character, that's not Kristen Wiig, it's just it's like an actress playing the actor in that miniseries, was married to Will Ferrell's character, the author. And then they got, like, this horrible, bitter divorce. So that's, like, basically, like, kind of, like, in the background of her character the entire time. That she, like, secretly just hates this guy. Who is directing her in this miniseries. Based on his book. And I guess at one point, like, Tobey Maguire, like, humps the mannequin.
I do like Tobey Maguire. It's just, like, one of his first TV roles is this.
Yep. Yeah, and Archer's back next week, and just a ton of stuff. So, I'm sure we'll get into more in the next couple weeks or so as TV rolls on. So I think that's pretty much it for this week's show. Is there anything else you guys think of, Chris, we need to talk about?
I wonder what other movies Joe watched.
I don't know. I have a list that's like 20 yet. So I could have listed a ton of movies I watched over my, like, because it's big for work, but I tried to pare it down a little bit. I watched like pretty much every Tarantino movie because I got that back set for Christmas, the Tarantino XX collection. So, anyway, yeah, I think it's going to do it for this week's show. If you want more information, go to www.everythingaction.com. Like we mentioned before, we have our top 10 Nicolas Cage moments on there. We have just a bunch of other stuff. Our regular features are up there on the site. Check back in, hopefully, in the next couple days for a Nicolas Cage commentary. Hopefully, the movie figured out by the time by the end of the week, and we'll get that recorded for you guys. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action, everythingaction.tumblr.com. Definitely go check that Tumblr for our Nicolas Cage extravaganza that we had on Tuesday. Just go back to the archives a little bit and just ton of clips, ton of Nicolas Cage facts, Nicolas Cage quotes. Oh, God. There's one, I don't know if you saw it, Chris. I put this one story he told about falling into a rattlesnake pit when he was like 16 and he had to kill the rattlesnake. It's like, there's a rattlesnake, and it was cold up, and I knew it was going to strike. So I took a piece of board with a nail in it, and I killed the rattlesnake. I'm just like, what are you talking about, Nicolas Cage? And, he talks about, like, how one of his houses he built was haunted. He bought some, like, mansion in Louisiana that was haunted.
Until the time he bought that octopus that he inspires by.
Yeah. What time the guy burst into his house with, like, naked with a fudgicle. So yeah, and then we're also on Twitter, twitter.com/deviaction. You can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. Find us on iTunes. You can search for us on there and subscribe to the podcast, rate us, leave us some comments, and give us some reviews. And you can also get our commentaries and our regular podcasts and all in one convenient feed. You can also get our app on there for your iPhone or iPod Touch, which is free, and you get stories from the site and also a bunch of other stuff on the app. So download that. And I think that's it. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we'll see you next week.